Welcome, everybody, to the Boiler Alert Podcast. With you, as always, I'm your host, Andrew Ledman. You will notice Ryan is not with me this week. Instead, I've got a special guest. You might have heard her voice on any number of podcasts, including her own Megan Fun of Sports, I Love a Lifetime Movie, or Hysteria. She's also been a guest on my brother's favorite podcast, All Fantasy Everything. So you've probably heard her. You might have seen her on The Tonight Show, on At Midnight, on Conan. She's been everywhere. Everybody, Megan Gailey is with us today. Megan, thanks for joining.
Hi, is Ryan okay?
Ryan.
Isn't that what you said your co-host's name was? You said Ryan,
yes.
Is not.
I got shocked because my brother's name is Ryan, uh-huh. And he also went to Purdue, and I was like,
I have a brother, Ryan. You got to have a brother. Everybody has a brother, Ryan.
Yeah.
But then so Ryan is your brother and your co-host, or are they two separate people?
Two separate Ryans. Ryans.
Okay. So Ryan.
Yeah.
Both Ryans are okay.
They are both fine. Yes.
Okay.
I just figured it'd be easier just to do one-on-one with a special guest. So
I like to imagine your co-host hates me and is boycotting.
Yes. Yeah. And what I did is I said, hey, guess who we're having on? He's like, no, I'm out. Yes, not on the Lord's Day.
Do not send him my best and tell him that we will address what happened.
Okay, I'll let him know. And he knows what happened.
Oh, he knows.
He knows. So for those that don't know you, you went to Purdue.
Yes.
And so I want to talk a little bit about that before we get into the rest of the podcast. We're going to talk Matt Painter because you talked about Matt Painter on your two episodes ago, I think, of Megan mm-hmm. Fun of Sports. And you had a different take than we did. And sometimes here on the Boiler Alert Podcast, we get called homers.
We're
soft, you know, we're soft on the athletic department and soft on Matt Painter. So I wanted to bring in a different take for people who criticize us. And I know you had a different take, so that's good.
I don't think there's anything wrong with being a homer, by the way. Like, I actually, my husband is not a homer. Like, he picks players, you know, he loves players. Okay. So then he follows them and I go, no.
That's not how it works.
I want everyone to suffer the way I've had. I think that shows a lack of loyalty. Yeah. So being a homer shows loyalty and is a good quality.
I agree because you're a Purdue fan. You're also a Colts fan,
big time, and Pacers.
And Pacers. So you've mm-hmm. you've had some heartbreak in your time.
I truly am now, and I'm like, I hate to center myself in all of these, but it's like I'm the common denominator, and I feel cursed.
Yeah. I mean, there's very few teams that could be worse. I mean, yeah, I guess you could be a Browns fan, which would be pretty bad. I mean, their team went away for a few years.
And I've dated multiple Browns men. Like, I've loved more men from Cleveland than anywhere else in the world. So
maybe
it's
more
really,
than
it's
anyone
like,
else in the world.
Yeah, I really, I think I'm a masochist. Is that what it is when you love pain? That's what I'm starting to wonder if I am. But yeah, I am born and raised in Indianapolis, and that is why my fandom is the way it is. And my parents are from upstate New York. And so no one in my family is originally from Indiana. We sort of, we're transplants there, which is kind of unique. I was not raised rooting on any of the traditional IU, Purdue, Notre Dame, Butler, kind of the elite Indiana schools, as I'll put it. And then I decided, both of my brothers went to Miami of Ohio. Like, I was the first person to like choose an Indiana path in any way.
Yeah. So what was it that made you choose Purdue?
I went on this massive college tour where I looked in DC. My dad went upstate in upstate New York, and I was like, I'm going to go to the East Coast. And then I went and visited all these schools, and I had like an emotional breakdown. It was I'm too afraid to go this far from home. And I also didn't really know what I wanted to do yet.
Yeah.
So it felt crazy to spend at that time what was only $45,000 a year to go someplace and quote unquote, figure it out. Especially I had like the homesickness where I would have to go home from sleepovers as a kid.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So this was not a new thing. This was known going.
No, not at all. And so that ended up fate fate took over, and I did not want to go to IU because that's where I went to Lawrence Central. And so a lot of kids go to there's, gotcha. It felt like there was just like one bus, and they said, load all the people that will drop out in one semester onto this bus and drive them to Bloomington. And Purdue felt like a good school that was close enough to home. And there wasn't a ton of my friends going there already.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. But in Connersville, where I grew up, it was a lot of like, it was a very pro IU town. So a lot of people I was graduating with, it was like, there was no question. They were just going to IU. And a lot of them, it was like, well, I never want to see you again. So if you go to IU, that's great. But I mean, my family is all Purdue. My dad went to Purdue. Three older brothers, they all went to Purdue. So yes. I mean, there was no choice really for me.
And it's really so crazy because once I got there, I was like, oh, I didn't realize that this was one of those schools that just like every, because my dad went to Cornell. My mom actually went to Valparaiso sight unseen from New York.
Oh, wow.
And I,
that's a choice.
I know. And then she loved it, but she was like, oh, I'll never live in this state ever again. And then has lived in Indiana almost 40 years now. But when I got to Purdue, I go, oh, I'm the only non-nepotism baby here. Like I'm the first Purdue person in my family. And that felt extremely rare there.
Yeah. 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 It's a lot of family connections. We always say on the pod, you know, a lot of people who are Purdue fans because either they went there or, you know, a family member went there. There's not a lot of like casual Purdue fans.
No, we are not Ohio State.
No.
It is, you're not just, no. And IU does it too. Like there are I know tons of people and Ohio State specifically, like I know people that went to like very good schools that then root for Ohio State. I'm like, that's really strange.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make it's.
And I'm not calling it a bad school, but like, it's not.
No. It's a bad school. You can
say. It's not an Ivy League school.
Yeah. It goes back to what you said your husband does. You know, everybody wants to root for a name or, you know, everybody likes a winner. And Ohio State, whether we love them or hate them, they win some football games. So,
yeah. And I hate them when it's the regular season. But then when it starts to get into the national spotlight, I love the Big Ten to succeed because, and I mean, now that we're like adding, I live in Los Angeles, so I'm actually really thrilled that USC and UC, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get to watch Purdue play basketball and football here. I live really close to the Rose Bowl.
So
I'm going to get to go to basically home games there for myself.
Yeah. That's going to be great. That's going to be great. So, just so everybody has an idea about you as a Purdue fan, what years were you at Purdue?
Okay, so I was there 2004 to 2008. So
exact Matt, same time as me.
Yeah. So Kyle Orton, the Wisconsin fumble. Yeah. So that was my freshman year, and then I was there. I think we were there the very tail, like the very beginning of the Robbie Hummel Each One More.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. So it was, we had good teams. Mm-hmm. We had a nationally ranked, really good football team and a nationally ranked, really good basketball team. And the women's basketball team was very good at that time too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's when they were going to Sweet 16s. My wife is coming down the stairs saying, you better talk about the women's sports too. Not knowing that we are literally doing that right now because you cannot hear me.
Well, and I remember going to volleyball, women's volleyball, and I was in a sorority. There was a girl in our sorority who was on the tennis team. I feel like I went and watched a lot of different kinds of Purdue sports, not just the big two.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we've established, you know, the time you were at Purdue. My wife, I think, is writing me a note about Stephanie White.
Okay,
right
great.
Now, because she really wants me to talk about Stephanie White from the Purdue women's basketball team that won a national title, because that was her hero growing up. So
amazing.
So my wife, obviously, like me, been a Purdue fan for a long time. Her dad went to Purdue, so
she was born into it.
Yeah, ran in her family as well. Now, when you were at Purdue, you said you were in a sorority. You're going out to the bars. Which bar are you choosing to go to?
Okay, so I ended up having sort of non-sorority tastes in bars. I loved Jake's. Jake's was my number one because I love hot dogs.
Okay.
And I love free food. So you combine
Perfect.
That. And I, yeah, so like Stax was really big amongst the Greek community.
Yeah, I hated that place.
It was,
there was no one ever there either.
Until
midnight, yes, or one in the morning.
If people from my sorority are listening to this, they're going to be very mad. That was not my, I used to get into Brothers before I was 21. And so that felt like cool.
Very special, a special place for you.
I wasn't a huge cactus person.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
No, I know. And I don't know if, cause it was just like a little bit further.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
you got to go down the hill. You got to figure out if you're going to get somebody to drive you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I definitely, yeah, I loved Jake's. Harry's is obviously a classic.
Yeah.
And then there was like this weird, I don't even remember what it was called. It was down by the cactus and it was like a nightclub. It was open. It had been maybe a strip club that then turned into a nightclub. It is now absolutely defunct. It was right by where people would donate plasma.
And oh, I don't know this one.
I had like a friend of a friend who worked there and we were allowed to go when we were underage too.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I really ended up liking anywhere that had free food or let me in when I was about 21.
Well, there we go. I mean, those are two requirements.
And the cactus was not, the cactus, you had to be 21. Like,
oh yeah.
They were not messing around with that.
No, no, no. And then of course the cactus died and just came back.
Oh, did it come back?
Yeah, it came back this last year.
Okay, great. Congratulations. But I went to the piano bar. Like I did it.
It just wasn't.
Jake's was my go-to and my sorority friends, their go-to was Stax and Harry's.
There you go. Yeah. All right. So now that we've established all of our Purdue credentials, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Matt Painter and we're going to do some talk about NIL and how it relates to women's sports. And we are back. So still here with Megan Gailey. And as I said at the beginning, her take on Matt Painter, different than Ryan and I's, and that's good. That's good. We want to hear different opinions. You know, we're homers here on the podcast, as we've said a number of times. And on the episode of Megan Fun of Sports, she basically said, you know, she thinks maybe Matt Painter needs to go. Maybe Matt Painter needs to be fired. Is that still how you feel?
So a lot of your listeners came for me.
In the best way, I hope. In the best way.
No, and what I replied to some of them was like, we all want the same thing. We're all on the same team of we want to advance farther than we have.
Yeah.
I think you look at Matt Painter's regular season abilities and his recruiting and you go, this A is across the board.
Yeah.
He's amazing at those things. To me, what does end up mattering more than those, though, is March and tournament. And I look at his tournament record, and I have it in front of me right now. Purdue has been upset by a higher seed in 6 of its last 10 appearances.
Yeah.
He's made 1 Elite Eight.
Yep.
And when you think about the regular season success and the Big Ten championships and the talent he's had, I think that is a massive underperformance. And so it's not, I'm a Colts fan and they had those Peyton years
where
it was like, yeah, we'd go 15-1, 14-2, 13-3. And then we would lose in the first round of the playoffs. And it was so demoralizing because you go, this is actually what matters.
Yeah.
And then you look at someone like Tom Izzo, and obviously he's going probably to the NCAA Basketball Hall of Fame. I mean, he's not like, oh, he's just like a flute guy.
Yeah, he's not some guy off the street. He's clearly
a March great. So it's probably not fair. But there are these coaches that when it gets to the tournament, they have it. And the team can stumble. And I fear from what we've seen that Matt Painter does not have it. And I don't mean that as an attack on him. I don't think that means he's a bad coach or a bad guy. But it's like so many of my friends, when we lost that game, we're like, we knew this was going to happen. And I think some of that is Purdue's history.
Yeah.
And I think some of that is Matt Painter's history, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was weird because going into a game as a number one seed against a 16 seed, you're never supposed to be nervous. You're never supposed to feel anything at all. You're like, just no one get hurt and let's hope we win by, you know, 20. But we go into this game and the day, you know, 2 days before these teams were playing in the first four, And everybody is in our mentions like, I don't know, they look like they might be able to shoot. I'm nervous. Yeah. They've got to press, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we shouldn't be feeling that way. And to your point, I don't know if that says anything, what that says about maybe the team, maybe Purdue mm-hmm. fans in general, or Matt Painter, because, I mean, you're right. We've been upset in March far too many times. Far too many times. I mean, you can't really defend that.
No, and the common denominator is him, because the teams have
been...
The team changes, and there were... So we went 0-2 versus IU this year, which is very disappointing to me.
Yes.
And then they win the Big Ten tournament, and I'm like, on one hand, this is amazing. On the other hand, I'm like, oh no, did the wake-up calls happen too early? And like, there's part of me that's like, psyche-wise, did they not prepare for their early success? They seemed afraid. They were the 3-point shots. Like, I'm just like, what? And I don't know. My husband is a huge NBA fan. And so we were watching it together. And my dad is a huge just basketball fan across the board. And they're like, shooters got to shoot. Like, you have to just shoot until it's going in. But like, we're to the point, we got 4 minutes left. It's like, it's not turning around. We have a man who's 7'4".
Yeah.
My game plan would be give it to him, because that seems to be the only thing that's working. And the guys we're playing against are 6'1". Like, it seemed like there was no adjustment at any point. Yeah. And that to me is on Painter.
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, when Ryan and I talked about it after that game, you can't defend anything that happened in that game from Matt Painter's perspective.
Yeah.
He was outcoached by this guy who just come up from Division 2 or Division 3 or, you know.
And then got a new job. Yeah,
and then got a new
job. Got the Iona job because and so there were responses to me, and I hate for anything to be like, oh, this is one game, and like that's what we're reacting to it, because I think that's so unfair. And I also think sports fans, and I include myself in this, are very stupid. And we're very
irrational.
Reactionary. Yes. And so we go, rah, rah, rah. And so I was obviously upset. And that was like the first time I was talking about it post. I don't even know. Oh, and so people will go, well, look at what's happened to IU. They fired people and they did. And I go, yeah, but that's not us. Like,
right.
I think, look at, we've had two coaches over 50 years. Like, it's like, I think it's okay to move on from someone and it not be a personal thing of like, you've done an incredible job. I think what he's best at is recruiting. And I do think some of that, he obviously does an amazing job with it. Indiana is a great place to recruit though.
Yeah.
There was the starting point guard on Miami, went to my high school. Like, you're in a hotbed of amazing talent that you should be able to recruit there. And if you can't, then you shouldn't have a job.
Yeah.
So I think there's this thought of like, well, there's no one better. And it's like, 64 teams were in the tournament and we saw a lot of really incredible coaching from 9 seeds on down that just because we don't think there's anyone better doesn't mean that's a fear that should keep us in this relationship that doesn't seem to be serving us.
Yeah. I think a couple points. It's like with the recruiting, Painter always talks about, you know, it's a process. You got to find the guys that fit. You don't necessarily have to get like the best player, but you have to get the best player for you.
Yes.
And I always kind of compare it to like the NFL draft when they're like, okay, who are you? You're number 4 on the board. You don't need a quarterback. Are you drafting the best player available or are you drafting for fit?
What you need. Yeah.
And which way do you go? And Painter always seems to be, I'm not going for the best player available because I don't think, you know, it's obviously it's different in recruiting because you're not guaranteed to sign anybody, but he's never going for the best player on the board because he doesn't think he can get them. He doesn't think they're going to fit in at Purdue. He doesn't think they're going to be able to do what he needs them to do. So he goes for the best fit. And that clearly produces great results.
He's an amazing GM. Yes.
And I mean, Purdue just hasn't had the athletes, especially at the guard position, to win in March, because that's what you have to have. And we had a guy like Jaden Ivey and we couldn't utilize him properly last year.
Love him.
And now, now we're looking at next year, Miles Colvin is coming in and he's, you know, the son of Roosevelt Colvin, former Purdue football player. So he's a legacy, maybe one of the main reasons we got him, because I don't know if Painter's going to get a guy with that kind of talent unless he has an
in.
And now we just got to hope that we don't waste him coming in as this dynamic guard.
No, and people bring up valid concerns of like, look, I love West Lafayette, but yeah, you're having to compete with places where it doesn't snow. Right. And so when you're talking about these top places, I live out here in Los Angeles. UCLA is a beautiful campus. Yeah. USC is a, so you're it, and factors of family and who they want to be close to. The reason that I ended up like going, okay, I changed my mind is because
I be a bulwark against these people.
I want to give him credit as I think he finds really quality people too.
Yeah.
And that is something that to me as a sports fan is really important. And I talk about it, I call it conscious fandom of like, there's enough. No, I just didn't want to say anything. So I call it conscious fandom where it's like, we have enough options that you can really pick someone that you go, I align with this person as a person and yeah. I'm going to root for them. Like, I love Russell Westbrook. I think he's an amazing dad. He's done so much for the city of Los Angeles. And so when people started turning on him out here, I was like, oh no. You guys are turning on the basketball player. Right. I would never turn on the person.
Yeah.
And so Matt Painter, you look at this Alabama situation. And I find it to be so embarrassing heartbreaking that a woman died. And that really does seem to be lost in there of like, is he going to play? It's like a person died and a child is without their mother. So like, let's get back to like the core of it.
Yeah. It goes back to your point of sports fans just were stupid and kind of crazy.
Yes, because we want to win. But I see something like that and I go, anything can happen anywhere. I don't think it would be handled the way I actually don't think that would happen at Purdue. And B, if something terrible like that did happen, I think it would be handled in a way that would make me not embarrassed to have gone to that school.
Yeah.
And so that's when I go, well, and I think this happened a few years ago. Mitch Daniels was like, listen, we're going to play by the rules and what the NCAA says is the way to do things. That's what we're going to do. And we're still going to try and recruit really good athletes who are really good students who are good people. And when I heard that, I go, well, we're going to lose, which is like terrible.
I mean, it's a sad reality, but I think you weren't the only one that thought that. Yeah.
But you go, okay, but at the end of the day, that's a good, even when they lost, I go, well, it's still a really good school.
Yeah.
It's still academically a good school. And I mean, Jaden Ivey's such an amazing example of.
And he's crushing it in the NBA right now.
I was devastated the Pacers didn't get him. Like, I truly was like tweet mad at the Pacers.
You know, especially now that he's up in Detroit, which, you know, the Pacers and the Pistons, not exactly
nothing makes
best
me more
friends.
Upset. Nothing
exactly
makes me more upset.
Friends.
And my husband used to work for the Pistons. So it's like, I have to
and
block
you still
it out.
Married him.
I forget it all the time. I truly forget it all the time because I've like emotionally gone, no, I actually can't handle that.
Yeah.
So I guess that's, it's like, if I'm looking at March record alone, which is what I was doing, I think there's a strong case for him to be fired.
Yeah.
If you're looking at everything, I totally get why there's people that don't want that to happen.
Yeah. And I think your point earlier of it feeling like a relationship is spot on, because so often you're like, is this the best situation for me? I don't know, but do I want to see what happens if I end it? Is there something better for me out there? I don't know. Or if I leave this person, am I going to be stuck with someone else who's going to be worse? And I'm going to have to suffer through that. You know, for a head coach, it's going to be at least 4 years. And then if that fails, you got to do it again. And you're like, you don't know how long it's going to be until you can stabilize. So if you're going to fire somebody, especially somebody who's been as successful as Matt Painter, I think you have to be damn sure that you can get someone who can come in and take the next step. It's like I'm a Buccaneers fan.
Okay.
Because of Mike Allstott from Purdue. And of course they had Tony Dungy for years. They just could
it's
not
the exact
get over
same
the
thing.
Hump.
It's
could
the exact
not
same
get
thing.
Over the hump. He, you know, got run out of town. They bring in Gruden. They win it the next year. And it's not as if Gruden
with Tony Dungy's
sort of,
team,
with Dungy's
the same
team.
Exactly. Yeah,
you know, Gruden wasn't some incredible genius who flipped everything around.
Learned now,
as we've learned in recent years. But it was just a change of habits, a little bit more on offense, and suddenly they're off to the races and they win the Super Bowl.
And, It's so funny you bring that up because that's how I was thinking of it. And I was like, I don't know if that's like a metaphor that's like too
Oh,
far
no.
gone. But then I think that's why when Dungy won with the Colts, it meant 10 times more because it was saying, yes, I do have it. And I think that would, if Painter were to leave, I think that would maybe be the same situation where it's like sometimes you're just in a place and
You've
we've
been
all
there for
had
so long, you're
jobs.
comfortable.
Yes, that you go, oh, it was a combination of environment and people and what I was allowed to do and what I wasn't, that it's not all on him. That I do wonder. I'm like, I wonder what percentage of him wants to be at a different program. And it may be zero, but I don't think
I
it
think it's
is.
more than zero, because if you watched a lot of his like press conferences after games this year, it was a lot of, I've had other opportunities, but I love it at Purdue. And you can never, you can never not be the head coach at Purdue if you've been here. It's a special place. I played here, I love it here, blah, blah, blah. But he mentioned that at least two or three times.
Which is like, that's
And
like
it's like, why are
me.
you bringing that
Yes,
up?
I do
Like,
this to my husband all the time. I'm like, the salesman at J.Crew was trying to
he
holler,
was,
you know, like
yeah.
it's not a normal thing
Yeah, it's like
to
people
do.
want me. Just,
Yes.
I am a desired commodity. So yeah, I mean, I don't think you're out of line there. So any final thoughts on Matt Painter before we move on? Deep sigh, just for the listeners out there, just a deep sigh.
I want them to make it past the Sweet 16. And I know we don't know what Zach Edey is gonna do. And I actually don't really, I always am like, go. It's about money and it's about, go. Who can you owe these people nothing. When it comes to Zach Edey, I go, I think a year would be good for you. Because as my husband has sat and watched him with me, he goes, he thinks he's going to go up against Joel Embiid. And I'm like, these are very valid points of this is a guy who's played basketball 5 or 6 years, like another year of development. Now, would it selfishly serve us as Purdue fans? Absolutely. I think it would be good for him. The concern is at his size, your body does break down easier. As we've seen, I went to rival high school of Greg Oden, where it's like sometimes when you're that big, you just got to strike while the iron's hot, even if you're not ready, because the expectancy on those knees is so short.
Man, Greg Oden, as soon as he got into the NBA, it was just like one injury after another. Poor guy. I mean, he got a multi-million dollar rookie deal, so I'm not too concerned for him, but had to have been really hard to see your body break down to do the one thing that you basically had been doing and leading up to for your whole life. And then it's just gone. So
I just every year I go, I'm not gonna start watching until, and then I get so excited and then I watch and then I'm devastated.
Yep, that's all of us. That is every single one of us. So there we go. We both just want more. We want some Final Fours, more Elite Eights. Just give us opportunities to get to the Final Four
It's
and see what happens.
the Final Four is in Indianapolis so much that for like the fact that Butler has been there more recently than us, like it's just like we're so close. All we have to do is drive right down the road. And it's such a basketball specific town and state that I think it hurts that much more.
I agree. So, last topic, I know I don't want to keep you too long, was talk about name, image, and likeness and how it relates to women in college. I sent you an article from Fox 59, which I thought was kind of part of the problem that I see with NIL with women's sports. It was the top earners from NIL in 2022. And what I said to you is, it seems to me that in order to get money from name, image, and likeness as a woman in college, you either have to be the very top of your sport, which is understandable because that's it's the same way on the men's side. Those are the people who people pay attention to, so they're going to get the most money. No problem there. But it seems like the only other way to be one of the top earners in women's sports is to be conventionally attractive. And that seems like a problem to me, because the men who are getting money, not always lookers. I mean, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But for the women, they've got to either be the very best or they've got to be on Instagram with, you know, mm-hmm. 6 million followers. You mm-hmm. go on this list on Fox 59 and they include like the links to their Instagram pages, how many followers they have. And they're showing like pictures of them in like weird, like one of them looks like she's dressed like a cheerleader, even though she's a gymnast,
mm-hmm.
is wearing
mm-hmm.
a shirt that says Barbie across it.
Yeah.
And like, I have no problem with women using their feminine wiles, as you want to call them, their bodies, their sexuality, whatever. They're there to get money and find a way to make it in the NIL world, which is so new. I'm glad
right.
they can do it. But we can't just force these women to rely on looks to make money. It seems outrageous.
Yeah. So I think I'm so happy that you brought this up, and you're obviously a astute man. It's one of those things where it's like, this is a representation of society as a whole, yeah. though. And so there, this happened when marijuana was legalized a lot of places, where it was like, oh, okay, that's great. And it was like, well, it's actually really good for white people. But
yeah.
the amount of Black people being arrested for marijuana offenses didn't go down, it went up. So it's like, if you put something into our society and hope it won't be classist, racist, sexist, or any of our tenets that we sometimes struggle with, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
What I hope happens is that they will figure out these kinks. And I don't mean that in a sexual way. Like,
right.
I mean,
yeah.
in like the,
that's a whole different side of Instagram that I don't think we need to talk about.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's difficult. It's like, we are a capitalist society.
Yeah.
And so we are now putting a monetary amount on young people and what they're able to do. And so we're gonna naturally fall into the things that we usually do. Okay, hot women, guys mm-hmm. who can dunk.
Yeah.
And I'm pro NILs.
Oh, me too. Because, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, we're pro athlete choice. We're pro these people being able to earn money when people have been earning money off of them. But no, it's absolutely sexist. And there was a lot of really interesting discussion about even how the media was covering South Carolina as opposed to Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
And race was heavily brought up. And you do have to go like, oh, wow, like, is this very traditional looking white girl who has swagger and who has badass confidence that we don't necessarily usually equate to pretty like normal white girls?
Yeah. And from Iowa, no less.
Yes,
playing
but it's
Iowa.
Like we're all only human. We're seeing this girl do incredible things and be really funny about it. I mean, even though she's not trying to be funny, like
yeah.
it's really entertaining. And it's like that's what we're naturally being drawn to. But I see the Bayou Barbie and I go, look at these lashes. Like there's just something about women's sports as a whole where their appearance always comes into it. And
yeah.
like, you just look at the things people have said and done to Serena Williams.
Oh yeah.
And you go, this is the Michael Jordan. Like, I think she's the most impactful athlete, man or woman, of our time. I just think she has totally changed so much in tennis and how we view female athletes. And it's still, after all of that and all of her success and the fact that she won a Grand Slam while being
pregnant
in her first trimester, which
yeah.
is terrible. Like, I couldn't get out of bed in my first trimester. We still boil it down to what her body looks like and mm-hmm. what she looks like.
Yeah. And like, why did she wear that cat suit? And it was like, well,
yes.
She had, you know, blood clots and she could have died. And so she was taking care of herself, but it comes down to, well, you know, look at how she was dressed. It's like, who
yeah.
cares?
Yes.
She's the best tennis player maybe to ever live. And
so like, it sucks that social media, but I, like, as you were like talking through it, I go, maybe one of these gals will be really funny. Like, I cause you know, there's all these like hot accounts and there's people that parody the hot accounts,
yeah.
but it ends up being like, okay, if I'm not hot and I'm not, and I deal with this, and I am a performer, I my appearance really matters in what I do, even if I don't want it to. And there's times that I do want it to, but it's not something you can like turn on and off. But you go, okay, gals will figure it out. I mean, are they going to have to find their way like into this sort of niche thing that is so uncharted at this point? Yeah. I mean, I constantly am like, why won't Anthony Davis just wax the middle of his eyebrow? He's doing it.
It's got to, there's got to be some sort of money in it for him somehow.
He's trademarked it. And so it's like his brand, the brow. And I go, wow, like, shame on me for being like, I don't like how it looks. But it's like, you know, and maybe there'll be a Frida Kahlo girl that can dunk.
Like, maybe it'll come back. Who knows?
We really maybe a girl will be on Jeopardy. Like, I do think it's just like, oh, we're in such early stages of it. Yeah. So we defaulted to these tendencies that are not great.
Yeah, I think that's right, because it just happened so suddenly. Yes. And everybody scrambled and is like, these companies have money that they want to throw at people because they think it's going to be a good investment. So they're like, who do we get? Who do we do this with? Oh, I know, the guy who can dunk it, as you said, the guy who can, you know, throw the football 40 yards, mm-hmm. or the pretty girl on the gymnastics team. Like, yeah, we'll do these things. We'll push it down a couple years and we'll figure it out. There was an article, and I forget where it was from, saying that the number of women's basketball players who are playing now in like full makeup,
yes,
like eyelashes, everything else, is just so on the rise. And they think that it's largely, not largely, but at least partly due to NIL, because they know that they have to present a certain look on the court in order to be like sponsor friendly, I guess.
And that would be like, that would be really unfortunate to me. I know as a female performer, I have had people tell me, hey, dress this way. And when I first started, they were like, you look too nice. Like, your outfit is too cool. You shouldn't have heels on. You shouldn't have something fancy on, like, because you're coming out and that is making people immediately on guard. And I listened to it because I was a 23-year-old woman getting advice from people.
Yeah.
And then as I went in, I was like, no, I like to look the way that I look. And I don't wear hoodies. So like, why would I do that? Why would I wear that to my job if that's not how I dress? Now, am I always like have my breasts pushed up? No, but it's like, you see, I love color. I like fashion. Sometimes I have my stomach out. Like, it's just like, yeah, I'm going to look the way that I want to look. And that, for me, performing wise, is a place of comfort and being myself up there. That I hope if young athletes are doing anything, it's because they want to.
I hope so.
Yeah. But I mean, I think the men are susceptible too, just like at a much small, because there's definitely guys that you're like, oh my, you look at Jimmy Garoppolo. It's like, even my friends that don't follow the NFL know who Jimmy Garoppolo
is.
He's
the hot quarterback.
They go, oh, Joe Jonas. Yeah, I know him. Like, you know, every gay man I know, they're like, I don't watch the NFL, but I know Jimmy G.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're just a society that likes pretty. But yeah, I'm looking at this gymnastics girl. It's always the gymnastics girls. My best friend was a gymnast. Oh my God. Still to this day, she had two kids, walks into a room and it's like, everybody loves her. And and the real moral is, you can't compete with these gymnastic girls.
And
it's
that's
too
why
difficult.
We're here, Megan. That's why we're here.
So I hope a gymnastics girl becomes famous for having the flattest butt ever. Like, she's like, I have no ass, I have no boobs, I have no personality, I have no makeup, and I'm going to brand that.
I think you're talking about figure skaters at this point, though. that sounds more
too.
Like a figure skater than a gymnast.
They're like classically, but it is interesting because like, we celebrate big men in basketball, especially like Big Baby. And I'm like, oh, that would be a fun trend for women to be like, we just love this big girl.
Yeah.
she's just a bruiser. I really want that to happen.
Yeah. I mean, so I think you're right. It's going to take time to kind of see how it shakes out. But right now it's a weird feeling because you do want these women and the men to succeed. You want them to make the money because they've been exploited as athletes for so long. But you just hope they feel good about whatever they're doing and that there's some sort of fairness and they're getting treated the proper way, because there's just, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. We don't know what they're told, but We just hope that at the end of the day, they're doing what's best for them and they're happy with those decisions.
Yeah. And their parents are not taking the money from them unless they want their parents to have the money.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm like, Macaulay Culkin situations.
I know. I'm like, I don't think you can get divorced from your parents when you're 20. They're just your parents then.
Yeah. Yeah. You could try to emancipate, but
they're like, yeah, you're free. You're free already.
Yeah. So, well, Megan Gailey, this has been a blast. Thanks so much for taking the time. Really appreciate you coming on. Is there anything in particular you want to say that's coming out soon that we should find you on? You know, you want to throw out your Twitter, anything that we'd love to.
I would love for people to listen to Megan Fun of Sports. It's a sports podcast that I host with the former Patriots reporter. So it's like, even I'm able to make peace with people.
Man, so you've got the Patriots on your podcast and you've got the Pistons in your living room.
Yeah. And he's a Lakers fan and a Bulls fan. Like, he's just a fan of everyone. And it's like, this is really, it infuriates my father. So Megan Fun of Sports, it's on the Extra Points Network. So if you are a Cousin Sal fan, I think you'll love it. And everything stand-up wise that I have, travel is sold out. I'm going to be in Indianapolis, but I guess, like, look for me. I'm really hoping to go to a Purdue football game this year. You know what? In the fall, I'm going to be in Cincinnati, Columbus, and Indianapolis in September. Those have not even maybe, they're not even close to sold out. So
okay,
yes,
good.
I'll be in the Midwest in the fall.
There we go. So most of our listeners in the Midwest. So hopefully we can move some tickets for you. So there you go. Megan Gailey, thanks so much for coming on. Great to have you.
Okay, thank you. Boiler up.
Boiler up.